संकीर्तन गौर भक्त बिंद की जय जय निताय गो प्रेमानंदी समवेत भक्त बिंद की जय ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपद So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, Text Number 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Vasudeva Grihi Shakshad Bhagavan Purushaha Paraha Janishyate Tat Priyartam Sambhavantu Surya Sriyaha Vasudeva Grihi Shakshad Bhagavan Purusha Paraha Janishyati Tat Priyartam Sambhavantu Sarasriyaha Vasudeva Grihi Shakshad Bhagavan Purusha Paraha Janishyati Tat Priyartam Sambhavantu Surasriyaha Vasudeva Grihi Shakshad Bhagavan Purusha Paraha Janishyati Tat Priyartam Sambhavantu Surasriyaha Vasudeva Grihi Shakshad Bhagavan Purusha Paraha Vasudeva Grihi Shakshad Bhagavan Purusha Paraha Janishyate Tam Sambhavantu Shakshya Vasudeva Grihi In the house of Vasudeva Who would be the father of Krishna when the Lord appeared? Shakshat, personally, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has full potency, Purusha, the original person, Paraha, who is transcendental, Janishyate, will appear, Tatpriya Artam, and for his satisfaction, Sambhavantu, should take birth, Surya Shriya, all the wives of the demigods. Translation of Purple Face, Divine Grace, Sabai Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita 4.9, the Lord says, Tvaktva diham punajanama nayiti mameti. After giving up the material body, the devotee of the Lord returns home, back to Godhead. This means that the devotee is first transferred to the particular universe where the Lord is at that time staying to exhibit his pastimes. There are innumerable universes, and the Lord is appearing in one of these universes at every moment. Therefore, his pastimes are called Nitya-lila, eternal pastimes. The Lord's appearance as a child in the house of Devaki takes place continuously in one universe after another. Therefore, the devotee is first transferred to that particular universe where the pastimes of the Lord are current. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, even if a devotee does not complete the course of devotional service, he enjoys the happiness of the heavenly planets where the most pious people dwell. And then he takes birth in the house of a Suci or a Sriman, a pious Brahmana or a wealthy Vaishya. Sucinam Srimantam Gihi Yoga Priyaspato Abhijayate. Thus, a pure devotee, even if unable to execute devotional service completely, is transferred to the upper planetary systems where pious people reside. From there, if his devotional service is complete, such a devotee is transferred to the place where the Lord's pastimes are going on. Hearing it is said, Shambhavantu Surashriya, Surya Sri, the woman of the heavenly planets, were thus ordered to appear in the Jadu dynasty in Vrindavan to enrich the pastimes of Lord Krishna. These Surya Sri, when further trained to live with Krishna, would be transferred to the original Goloka Vrindavan. During Lord Krishna's pastimes within this world, the Surya Sri were to appear in different ways and in different families to give pleasure to the Lord, just so that they would be fully trained before going to the eternal Goloka Vrindavan. With the association of Lord Krishna, either at Dwapapuri, Mathurapuri, or Vrindavan, they would certainly return home back to Godhead. Among the Surya Sri, the women of the heavenly planets, there are many devotees, such as the mother of Upendra incarnation of Krishna. It was such devoted women who were called for in this connection. Om Agyan Smitam Dasha Jananjanan Shalaka Chakshura Meditandina Tashmai Shri Kirinara Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Karatha Shivashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari Shri Krishna Janmashtami Ki Jaya. Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, in his full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. So, here the demigods, they all go to the Kiradakai ocean, the ocean where Lord Vishnu is residing. In this material world is the Vaikuntha planet. Like a pole star, where Lord Vishnu, Kiradakshaya Vishnu resides. And generally it is through this incarnation, this Kiradakshaya Vishnu, that all the other incarnations of the Lord appear through the agency of the Kiradakshaya Vishnu. He's like the super soul of the universe. He expands into everyone's heart, into every atom. And the different incarnations come. So he maintains the universe. So the demigods go there, they chant the Purusha Shukta mantras to please the Lord. And then if he desires, he responds generally to Lord Brahma. He gets a dictation from within, from Lord Brahma, and to tell him of his appearance, and how, and to give the demigods this information that he will soon appear, and they should also take their birth in the Jadu dynasty, the Vrishni dynasties, to assist him in their pastimes, and also especially the women. The wives of the demigods should also appear to assist in the pastimes. So, the wives of the demigods, then they're appearing in either in Dwarka, Mathura, or Vrindavan to assist Krishna in his pastimes. So, these are some are sadhana siddhis and some are the eternal associates of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions the how the Lord is appearing in every universe, in one universe. The Lord is appearing somewhere in every universe, around innumerable universes, coming with every breath of Vishnu. And the Lord is appearing in these different universes on schedule. And so Prabhupada said this is called Nitya Leela. So somewhere now Lord Krishna is appearing in one universe where he's just being born. From Vasudeva and Devaki. At the same time, in another universe, he's being transferred to Goloka. In another universe, he's killing Putana. In another universe, he's dipping Govardhan Hill. In another universe, he's observing the Rasa dance. The activity is going on eternally. It's called Nitya Leela. Mahaprabhu gives an example in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said it's a material example, but it helps us to understand Nitya Leela. Just like the sun now rises at 6 o'clock on the eastern horizon, then at 6 o'clock it sets, in India at least, it sets on the western horizon. And at 12 o'clock it's overhead. So, for someone in the world, that when they look up, the sun is on their head. For someone else in the world, they're seeing the sun is on the horizon. So when someone else in the world, another situation, they're seeing the sun on the western horizon. So there's only one sun, but that sun is appearing actually at every phase of its circling. For someone it's 1 o'clock, for someone it's 2 o'clock, for someone it's 3 o'clock, for someone. So they're seeing the sun in all these different phases, although the sun is only one. So something like that, it's a material example. So this Nitya Leela of Krishna is going on simultaneously, one after another, in all the different universes. So then the devotees who are practicing sadhana bhakti, they're becoming perfect in that sadhana bhakti, then they, after they leave this body, they're transferred to that universe where Krishna is appearing in his pastimes, and there they get to actually associate with Krishna personally and help assist him in his pastimes. And more beneficial, we may say, is that they get an opportunity to associate with the Nitya Siddhas, other gopis or whoever they're aspiring to follow in the footsteps of. They get the association of either the elderly gopis or the younger gopis, or if they're in Mathur or Vrindavan, they're the related in the royal families. But the idea is that they associate with the Nitya Siddhas, who have perfected, who already have that that's their eternal mood of service, to serve Krishna in these particular forms. They have expanded to exactly suit him. This is the Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pravita Bhita Bhita even Nijarupa Taya Kalabi Goloki even if Satya Klatna Bhuto Govinda Madhipusham Tamaham Vijam. That Krishna's pleasure is potency expands as Radharani. So this is the original feature of Godhead, Radha and Krishna. Krishna is one and he becomes many for his pleasure. So first, pleasure is a consideration of Krishna, of God. Of course, these are all eternal, but to understand things we talk in terms of there was a time when he may have been alone, but of course he's eternally with his associates. It's not that God is one and he becomes many. To understand, because we're used to having this conception that there must have been one source because of our experience. But Krishna is complete when it's said that Krishna himself is not so beautiful, but when he's next to his pleasure potency, specifically Radharani, then he is very, very beautiful, most beautiful. So when Krishna is next to Srimati Radharani and all the other expansions of Radharani, all the Holy Gopi friends, then Krishna becomes very, very beautiful. And that's his in. So this is why he is one and he's become many, for his pleasure. His pleasure is the first consideration. Krishna is known as Rasaraj. All the other things that go on and all these creations, and that's actually Krishna doesn't get involved with that. His business is pleasure, that's his only business. Specifically with Srimati Radharani. So this is the original feature of Godhead, Radha and Krishna. So we understand, Gaudiya at least they understand, this is God, along with his energies. This is the complete picture of God. It's not that God is one and then he becomes many. No, we understand in his complete picture, he is there, his devotees are there, and he's enjoying the pastimes. So this is the original feature of God. But for analytical understanding, sometimes we break things down, that God was alone and he became two, Radha and Krishna. Then again he became one, that's Mahaprabhu. Anyway, this is how specifically the devotees of Krishna worship Krishna along with his energies. That is the original feature and the feature that they... Otherwise God alone has no meaning. If there's no sunshine, there's no meaning to the sun. Sun globe may be there, but if there's no sunshine, what meaning is it? You can't see it, you can't feel the heat. It may just as well not exist. So God by himself, there's no real value to him. Who can appreciate him? So when he expands himself, then he becomes... Then there is activity that is constitutes bhakti, devotional activities on the spiritual platform. So this is Krishna's business, Rasaraj. This is his first business and greatest business. So he expands. And so then when Krishna comes, now he's appearing as Krishna. Today is Krishna's birthday, Sri Krishna Janmatithi ki jai. His birthday today, his appearance day, So when he appears, then all of his associates appear with him. So the most perfect consort of Krishna, who specifically likes the Parakya Ras, he's famous for his for the Parakya Ras of dancing with others' wives at night, then the most perfect person to assist him in this pastime is Srimati Radharani. And she expands into unlimited others. When Krishna leaves and he goes to Mathura, then Srimati Radharani expands as the goddesses of fortune. Or he goes to Dwapara. So Rukmini expands as Satyabhama, perfect queen, not perfect, imperfect. Rukmini is perfect queen. Satyabhama, she's a little bit controversial sometimes. But Krishna likes that even more than perfect. When he gets, because Rukmini never chastises Krishna hardly. She's very, everything is very prim and proper. But Satyabhama is not like that. She will get a little bit upset and envious. And, well, Rukmini got a parijata plant. I didn't get one. She gets all happy. And Krishna, oh, I'll get you a tree. Take a whole tree. Why are you taking a plant? Take a whole tree. So the whole incident where he goes to the heavenly planets and gets a parijata tree there. The demigods start complaining, you know, this is a heavenly planet. You're taking our trees down to the earthly planet. It smells there. Why they should go to that horrible heavenly planet? So, of course, there's a battle with King Indra, but Krishna defeats him and takes the heavenly parijata tree and puts it in Satyabhama's garden. So she's now, she's got a whole tree. But then the wind always comes and blows the scent in Rukmini's garden anyway. So, like this, Krishna, all these different intrigues that are going on. So then, as queens and co-wives and things like that. So this is the gopis are expand into these different queens with all those features that can perfectly reciprocate with Krishna. As a Kshatriya living in Dwapara with many wives. Or when Krishna becomes Lord Ramchandra, then Radharani will become Sita, the most perfect match for Lord Ram. So wherever Krishna goes, then these energies will follow. So they come and they appear to take birth. So many wives of the demigods and wives of the Vrishnim, Jadu dynasty, they appear to take birth, and just like Krishna appears to take birth from Devaki. So these eternal associates, they also come and assist Krishna in his pastimes. It's said that those who were cowherd lasses in Krishna's pastimes, when he appears as Sri Krishna, when he appears as Mahaprabhu, they all become male. Male, they get born in generally in Brahmana families, and they all take on male forms because this is Gauranga. Gauranga Leela, then he's associated with, he's a sannyasi, at least in the last part of his life. So they all take on male forms and serve in Gauranga in the most perfect way. So this is Krishna's pleasure potency. Wherever he goes, he doesn't have to work it all out. It's all done for him. His pleasure potency expands exactly to suit his mood. All these eternal associates, they appear in the demigod families or in the Jadu dynasty and grow up and, like you say, assisting Krishna's pastimes as girlfriends or as mothers or as well-wishers. And there are others also coming up from the material world into by sadhana siddhi, by performing bhakti, sadhana bhakti, they become perfect. And so when, upon leaving the body, they are transferred to the particular universe where Krishna is appearing in these different pastimes. So, and it's there then they first have a chance to see Krishna. And instead that they have a chance to associate with the Nitya Siddhis. So this is the, because Krishna, he doesn't give his mercy so, what do you say, readily. He gives it to his devotees to distribute. So the Nitya Siddhas actually give it to that aspiring devotee. Oh, this is a sadhana siddhi has come up, but very anxious to serve Radha and Krishna, very anxious to, has become completely captivated by Krishna, has fallen in love with Krishna, but she's certainly qualified. So we have to teach her. We have to train her further. So she knows exactly the proper sentiment is Krishna, because we don't want some immature person coming along and not knowing how to behave properly with Krishna. So they get trained up with these Nityasiddha gopis or Nityasiddha queens and wives of Krishna. So this is the training that goes on even in the spiritual world or material world, but where Krishna is appearing is as good as the spiritual world. Because Krishna is there, the pastimes are going on. But still the training is going on. And one receives the mercy of these Nitya Siddhas, and they imbibe in the sadhana siddha, the proper service attitude. And by their mercy, then that person becomes qualified. Then at the end of that birth, they go back to Goloka, and they're fully qualified and trained to reciprocate in the pastimes with Radha and Krishna. At that time there's no difference between the sadhana siddhi and the nitya siddhi. The tattva always remains. If we are tatastha shakti, practicing sadhana and become perfect, we remain tatastha shakti, and Radharani and her associates remain the aladini potency, the internal potency. That remains the same. But it's not that we become aladini potency or anything, we remain tatastha shakti, but the attitude of loving service in friendship to all together, to the pleasure of Radha Madhava, that's almost equal with all the eternal associates of the Lord. So this is the idea, the training is going on. Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book, I think it was after Krishna just maybe swallowed the forest fire, he saved them from that great danger. Anyway, they went to Krishna, they were discussing, maybe Krishna's a demigod, because it's very uncommon the things he's doing, how we could be saved from these calamities. But somehow or another, Krishna always saves us. You know, that big serpent demon was there. And great forest fire is coming, and Krishna very easily saves us. Maybe he's a demigod. Maybe. So they're discussing. So Prabhupada says that Krishna wanted to give them further advancement. So they took their bath in, I think it must have been a Kuruga, or probably a Kuruga. And then they had he showed them the spiritual world, the whole of the Vaikuntha world. When they were taking their bath there. Just like Akura, he saw Krishna and Balaram become Ananta Vasudeva in the, I think it must have been the same guy. So he showed them the spiritual world there. And they're all amazed. Oh, they saw all the Vaikuntha planets and the topmost planet, Goloka, and their destination. Of course they were in perfection already, but you see, there are many of the demigod expansions that we were talking before about Drona and Dara. They were demigod expansions, but they actually merge into the bodies of Nanda and Jasoda. So they get that training. So especially for those, they were astonished. Where is the spiritual world? Here is our destination. But Prabhupada says in that purport that the training goes on. Training goes, even you got a perfectly spiritual body as a gopa or a gopi, you're with Krishna, you're personally interacting with Krishna's person in this material. The Prabhupada says the training goes on, even if you've got that far. So, yeah, so then when the devotees receive the blessings of the Nitya City, the Eternal City, and that, then they become perfect in their service to Krishna. Then everybody goes back to Goloka and no more coming back, Krishna says. Once bitten, twice shy, is the saying. Sometimes they're asking, Krishna says you never come back again to the material world, so, you know, upon reaching there, you never. So why are we at this old question? Why are we in the material world if you cannot fall down from the spiritual world? Prabhupada said, no, there's always a chance because you have independence. There's always a chance. He said, but once you go back, once you've been here and you go back, he says, you'll never go back. You realize how bad it was. Once bitten, twice shy. If a dog bites you, next time you take a big detour when you see that dog, right? So he said, you'll never come back after experiencing the material world. He said, that's what Krishna means. You'll never come back once you go home after experiencing. So this is the destination. So training goes on, even you get the association of Krishna, still you need that ultimate perfection. So this is this is why we associate with the Haladini potency. It's so important to receive this potency. It is a bhakti potency. Because that is exactly suited, knows how to please Krishna in this. So that we have to be, have that, receive that blessings. So we in tune of, you know, actually how to please Krishna to the greatest extent. So although this is going on, and these different energies of the Lord, you know, this whole leela of pastime and all the different personalities coming from the spiritual world and taking birth and the suddenness cities coming up and all the philosophy behind it and everything like that. So it's so elaborate, Krishna's program. But Krishna himself, actually, he's not really bothered with all this. This is all going on by his different potencies. But Krishna, he is a little baby, you know. He's just a baby. Or he's just a little kid. We were hearing a few days ago how Lord Brahma, he said that Krishna, how he can be God? Sitting on the bank of the Jamuna and eating his friends, seeing his friends' lunch, and they're playing. How can he be God? He must be just an ordinary, looks like an ordinary boy. You know? So that whole leela happens, and then Brahma gets completely bewildered. Completely. And then he comes down, he's offering his prayers, and he's shaking and crying. And you look, he said, you look like a little village boy. He said, you got a flute and a bugle stuck in your belt, and you got some minerals on your face, red oxide, and some peacock feathers, and the gunji mala on your neck, and you got some yogurt and fruit in your fingers, and it's trickling down in your hand through your fingers, and you're wandering around looking for your calves. You look like a little village boy. As if you don't have sufficient education. He said, but there's so much difference between your body and my body. I cannot comprehend that. I'm Brahma, I'm supposed to know everything in the universe. I cannot comprehend your form before me as a little boy like that. And Krishna, he's just saying, who's this funny man with four heads? What's he speaking about? I wish he'd hurry up and finish what he's going to say, because I'm going to look for my cows. Because Lord Brahma said, he's a little kid, he must be a kid. So Krishna says, as they surrendered me, I reward him accordingly. So he thinks I'm a little kid. So, you know, I'm a little kid. Where are my calves? I wish this guy would stop talking to me. I can find him. Get on with my business. So So this is Krishna. He's just simply absorbed in his pastimes, and his everything is carried on by his different potencies. When we want to create something, we have to work hard, you know, to create the situation. Then we can move in and enjoy it. But Krishna, it's all done automatically by his potencies. So his only business is pleasure. So this is the wonderful pastimes of Krishna. Inconceivable. Otherwise, how there's only a few devotees of Krishna? It's inconceivable then, his pastimes. Devotees are very rare because they're accepting the inconceivable nature of Krishna. Actually, God is incomprehensible. Nobody can understand God. Jiva Goswami also says, unless we accept this fact that God is incomprehensible, you give up your research work, because you're not going to make it. Unless you accept that God is incomprehensible, you're not going to make it. If you try to make him comprehensible and put him in your grasp, you're going to waste your time, so you better give up your study now. But if you accept he's incomprehensible, then you can study and you can see the workings and things like that. You're still not going to understand everything, but at least Krishna will reveal when you accept that he is incomprehensible and we're completely dependent on his mercy. So we may not be appearing that right now when Krishna was appeared on the planet, unfortunately. It's not exactly the time, but actually it's the past. We're still within the wake of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastime. He appeared 500 years ago, but the wake of his pastime is still going on. So it's we are very, very spiritual connected, very fortunate, because Krishna, he can perform all this pastime of appearance and establishing Yudhisthira on the throne and killing all the miscreants. And then finally he wound everything up and everything went back to Godhead. You see, that was his mission. But in his mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he never finished his mission. Because he wanted every town and village of the world, the holy name would be chanted. So he only established in India. But his mission was every town and village of the world. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is not finished. So the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a continuation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. It's a continuation of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If you read the activities of Mahaprabhu and his Leela, what we are doing now today in ISKCON is exactly the same thing. We are dancing, chanting, taking prasadam. There may not be so much ecstasy yet. It's coming. The prophecy is after this temple is built, and the ecstasy will come, the love of God will flood all over the world. It's getting close. But at least we're doing the same things. Mahaprabhu's instructed, wherever you meet, you speak about Krishna. So we're all chanting Hare Krishna, we're meeting others, we're telling everyone to chant Hare Krishna, and we're going to every town and village of the world. So this is like in the wake of the follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So it's a very, very potent time, actually, and this society that Prabhupada's created is a very transcendental movement. It's a very wonderful thing, and of course Krishna is here as the form of the holy name. He's very subtle, so he's still present here in this form, but not so easy to perceive that Krishna is none different than his holy name due to our heavy conditioning. So Krishna, again, if Krishna appears as a deity, there's even more time there, then you can actually see the deity, you can hear the holy name, you can't. At the moment we cannot interact, but Krishna as a deity, then so much interaction is there. We're all come, we can dance, we're using all of our limbs, right? We see, we come for darshan, we see the deity with our eyes, we chant Jai Radha Madhava and Hare Krishna with our tongues. We're hearing the holy name, so we're dancing with our legs. And All of our limbs are engaged in, can be engaged in the service of Krishna. So many devotees, I think a lot of devotees stayed up whole night last night making so many plans and preparations. So whole, you know, 24 hours a day we can engage in the service of the deity. So Krishna is so kind to come in this form also. So I thought maybe we should say something about Madhava, because our relationship is actually with Lord Madhava here right now. He's Mayapur Chandra Daimandir. So we can maybe say something about his appearance in ISKCON. And he's, you know. So this deity, the small deity, Radha Madhava, these were given by Srila Prabhupada when he was in Vrindavan, probably 1970. And this is when Prabhupada was making his first parikram or tour of India with his Western disciples. They had that world Sankirtan Prabhupada one. This is the first time it took off in India. A group of devotees, Western devotees practically. This was early days, so there wasn't, but mostly Western. But his first Western disciples made a tour of India. You've seen pictures in Surat, remember that? You've seen that Hare Krishna film, especially in Surat when they have hundreds of garlands, and the devotees are doing kirtan through the streets. A Hare Krishna film, Hare Krishna people. I mean, it was a real big success. So it was that time Prabhupada was given these three sets, the same, by one Mr. Dalmia, who was a life member in Vrindavan. And Prabhupada sent one set to Berkeley and one set to Boston. What's the names? Berkeley, Boston? Gopijana Balava, yeah. Berkeley? Gokulananda, okay. Gokulananda. Gopijana Balava. And the third set, Prabhupada kept with him. This was to be Radha Madhava. And then they were making their tour of India, and it was at Gorakhpur. And Prabhupada first chanted, apparently it was the first time he chanted Jaya Radha Madhava, or almost the first time. You can read in the ISKCON songbook, the translation of Jaya Radha Madhava, and it tells you how Prabhupada, he was chanting this song in Gorakhpur, and then Prabhupada went into an internal ecstasy. And then after some time he became external, and he said, this is such a nice song, he said, Jai Radha Madhava, everything is here, Radha Madhava here, Govardhan is here, Jasoda. So he said, this is a picture of Vrindavan, it's such a nice song. But like from that time, then he actually started chanting that song as a regular process before every Bhagavatam class, even it's going on today. Apparently it started at that time, as far as I understand. He was chanting to these deities, Jai Radha Madhava. So anyway, when they got back to Calcutta in 1971, Prabhupada said they should stay here in Calcutta. At that time it was in Hindustan Road, Hindustan Building. Then, 1971, they had a panda program in Cross Maidan. And I think that was the official installation took place then. We like to think of the installation when Prabhupada was chanting Jaya Radha Madhava and went into ecstasy. But the official installation was in probably 1971 in Calcutta, and they installed Radha Govinda in Calcutta Temple, 3 Albert Road, and Radha Madhava at the same time. And then they moved to the Albert Road Temple. And in 1972, February, this is going to be our first International Gopurnima Festival in Mayapur. So the devotees said, well, we can bring Radha Madhava from Calcutta because no nice size for a program. We have a panel and everything there. So we had a program here, and Radha Madhava came there. And with big success, Prabhupada invited all his 12 brothers. He laid the foundation stone for the temple of the Vedic Planetarium, also right on that site there. And all of his god brothers came. And yeah, anyway, then the festival finished, everybody left, they went back to their places, and Prabhupada said, "Where is Radha Madhava?" They said, "Well, we packed them up in a trunk." They used to carry them in a trunk. They're going back to Calcutta, and Prabhupada said, "No," he said, "they should stay here now." I said, "Prabhupada, where will Radha Madhava stay?" They said, "Well, where are the devotees staying?" He said, "Well, we only have the bhajan kutin, because the other tents, there was tents for the program, but they'll be gone. Only the bhajan kutir." He said, "Okay, they can stay there. It's the only building." He said, "They can stay there until we build a new temple." So Prabhupada said he wanted them to stay. So they remained here in the bhajan kutir. So we're all living in the bhajan kutir, Radha Madhava. Only not so many devotees. But. Then in the middle of the year, Prabhupada was given some land in Hyderabad. And so Prabhupada wanted to have a program there. So they took Radha Madhava to the program. It was the Jamuna, Polika, Kushalya. They were very famous for their Didis, being deity worshippers. Jamuna especially, she was given stars of instruction. So they would look after deities in those days and things like that, make the clothes. So they said, "Yeah, we'll take these Radha Madhava from Mayapur and we'll take them to Hyderabad, and there's a small Radha Gopinath in Calcutta about this big, we'll bring them to Mayapur so they can be worshipped here for a few weeks, a month, whatever it was." So then they took Radha Madhava and they had the program in Hyderabad. When Prabhupada came out to inaugurate the program, he paid his obeisances on the stage and he said, "Who are these deities?" They said, "It's Radha Madhava, Prabhupada." He said, "From Mayapur?" They said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "I told you to leave those deities in Mayapur. I told them, why did you bring them? I wanted them to stay in Mayapur. But when they go back, they should never leave. You stay there, never leave again." So, and then they came back after that program. And then they never left again. So, of course he says, it's very historical meaning behind this. Because there is one book of Jayadeva Goswami. You know, Jayadeva Goswami, he appeared a few hundred years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But in one of his books, I don't know which book it is, but one devotee was translating it, and he told me. He said, "I'm telling you this because I just translated it. You know, you're Radha Madhava Pujari, so you should know." And Jayadeva Goswami is actually talking about some spiritual city. Of course, we know it was Mayapur, because actually Jayadeva Goswami was living here at the time of King Lakshman Sen, yeah. He was actually a pundit, he was living right here. Then from here he moved to Jagannathpuri. Anyway, in this song he speaks of this spiritual city, and then he speaks of the predominating deities, Radha and Krishna deities, and he says the name of the deities are Radha Madhava. So this was a few hundred years before even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. And there are also different padas or kirtans by some of the associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who wrote different songs about the pastimes of Gauranga. And they also indicate the spiritual city, and they also indicate the predominating deities, and they also indicate the name as Radha Madhava Ki Jai. So, now we were thinking like Radha Madhava's in Calcutta, it's convenient. We're Mayapur, we're neighbors, we can just bring everything was convenient, and Prabhupada somehow or another enchanted Jai Radha Madhava with his deities. But Prabhupada's the Acharya, he knows, he has that vision. So he could see that, so this is actually why Prabhupada wanted these deities of Radha Madhava, why he wanted them to stay in Mayapur, he didn't want them to leave. Because this is actually the a prediction that's given by the previous acharyas also, speaking about Mayapur city and how Radha Madhava will be the predominating deities here. So this was their pastime. Of course, Srila Prabhupada, he never saw a big Radha Madhava when he was here. But he gave dimensions. He said you should make big Radha and Krishna, like small Radha Madhava like that. He said, but Radharani should be white marble, and she should be 5 and 8.5 inches tall. Krishna should be black, and he should be 5 foot 10 inches tall. And he also said you should make Panchatattva 7 feet tall from metal. And also there should be a Guru Parampara altar. So you have Guru Parampara altar, Panchatattva altar, and Radha Madhava in the Shakis. So he gave the instructions, but they manifested actually after Prabhupada's disappearance. Prabhupada's disappearance was 1977. In 1978, one man was in came to Calcutta and he said, I would like to do some service for ISKCON. And he said, I'd really like to buy some deities. So Jayapadaka and Bhavananda were there. They said, well, Prabhupada's given us dimensions and instructions to get these big deities from Mayapur. He said, if we like, we can get them now. We can make them now. You can, and of course, the new temple was only going to take a few years to build at that time. But we thought that, and it will give the devotees inspiration, already Radha Madhava have come, and we can build their temple more quickly. So he said, okay, go ahead, I sponsor them. So then he said, why you want to do this service and buy deities? He said, well, last night I had a dream. One sadhu came to me, and the sadhu said, you know me? And he said, I don't know you. He said, you gave me some donation one time, so I've come to return it. Here, take this donation. And he said, well, you know, if I give a sadhu a donation, I don't expect him to give it back. He said, you don't recognize me? He said, no. Then he became old. He said, oh, I know you, you're Swami Prabhupada. He said, yes. He said, after my disappearance, he said, my disciples had experienced some difficulty in the beginning. He said, afterwards everything would be okay. But anyway, he said, you should help them. You have a facility, because he was actually quite a rich industrialist. He said, you have facility, you should give them help. So then he woke up in the morning and immediately went to the temple. And so then the deities became manifested. They were made in Jaipur by Kunde Mortiwala. And their appearance, this Pandeywala was saying that this is very special deity. He said usually white marble is half as soft as black marble, or black marble is twice as hard as the white marble. He said, but in this case, this piece of marble we're making Srimati Radharani is just like, it's equally as hard as the black stone. We've never experienced like this. And when we're making this deity, he said, constantly a beautiful ringing sound. We never heard some sounds like this. Constantly a beautiful sound, like a ringing, like a almost like an orchestra is when we're chipping the deity. A beautiful sound is coming. And when the deities were finished, we went to collect them. And Bhavananda said, you should give some more polish, final polish, make them shiny, Madhava shiny. So they give him more polish, and then a white spot appeared on Madhava. He said, give more polish, or he give more, and that spot got bigger. The governor said, give more polish. He's giving, that became bigger. He give more polish. And as he polished, the whole line, a white line appeared all around his body like a permanent. And then he polished the head. And also a little spot appeared, and he gave more polish, and then the little tilak, also a white tilak appeared on Madhava's head. If you go close, you can see. So So then this was the and then Radha Madhava, big Radha Madhava, and then four Shakyas came. I think they were installed Radha Madhava were installed in 1980, I think. Then four Shakyas came, 84, I think, and then a couple of years later the other came. And yeah, so like that was the appearance of Madhava, our relation specifically is with Radha Madhava here in Mayapur. And also Jamuna told me a story, because after 1977, or 78, she left. She didn't come back to India for years and years and years. Then she came back, and she saw all the deities were installed. So she said, in 1974, her and Guru Das were managing the Krishna Balaram temple, or doing something there, they were in charge of. And she said, I went to see Prabhupada in Bombay to ask him some questions about the project in Krishna Balaram temple. And when I saw Prabhupada said, you should make a Radha and Krishna, they should be life-size deities. And she said, but Prabhupada, we've already made the deities, we've already ordered the deities. And he said, no, but you can make life-size, but Prabhupada, the whole altar has been made and everything like that for small deities. And Prabhupada said, then you can get Astashaki life-size. She said, that's also impossible, Prabhupada, there's not enough space there. And the Lolita and Vishaka are life size. That's not possible either, Prabhupada. The whole order arrangement is for small deity. So then Prabhupada didn't say anything else. But she said, now I've come here, what I am seeing now, here in Mayapur, Radha Madhava and the Astashaki, this is exactly what Prabhupada was telling me. With Mayapur and Vrindavan are non-different. So she was saying, this is what Prabhupada was explaining to me, that he was relating to Vrindavan. But he said, exactly what you've got here, this is what how Prabhupada was explaining Radha Madhava and Astashaki life size. Okay. Shri Radha Madhava Janmasmi Otsav Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Nitai Go Premanandi. Very, very well.